Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the advice podcast of two best friends that a stranger recently told me was very gentle. I am Daniel O'Brien, an Emmy and Webby Award winner, edging me ever closer to the coveted We Got that everyone talks about. Joined, as always, by my co-host, Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, I'm bringing the edge. Not so gentle anymore, is it?
God, Franny. You're so fucking loud in my ears.
Oh, I just took a stab at the person's name. Is it Franny?
No, it wasn't Franny.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but I can conclusively say that it wasn't Franny. Because we don't make that kind of name anymore.
I don't know. Gentle felt a little insulting.
Really?
Yeah, but I think that's a holdout from when I was young, and girls didn't want to date me in high school because I looked like a child.
I liked it so much. I did the Daily Zeitgeist live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn, and met some folks afterwards, and one of them just like purely just said, "You guys are so gentle on your podcast," and I like that. I think the opposite end of that extreme is terrifying. Like, I would hate for someone to be like, "You're so aggressive that I am afraid to listen to your podcast with the lights off." I don't want that at all.
Maybe if they said like hard boiled, I'm going to aim for that from now on.
There's a couple of things that I thought you could pull out of my intro. One of them was the gentle thing. You skipped over We Got. So I guess that's just a burn batch. I guess we're not.
There is a big one that I've noticed, and I didn't say anything.
Oh yeah,
you dropped the "so."
I did, yeah, because it's weird to start with that. I understand like the legacy that it has in the show, but it's still very weird to start with "so hello."
Yeah, well, it's nice to acknowledge that a bit wasn't working.
Yeah, and that'll be the one time it happens.
Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m., Postmate it. For a limited time, Postmates is giving you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use code QQ.
We are Quick Question, and you, our listeners, prefer to be called the Cute Cuties. That's it. There's no bit. It's just like that is a reasonable name for you guys.
Honestly,
to be
I think
called.
That's a good one. Yeah,
I know.
I feel it's going to be so sad when that's the one that sticks.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if it did stick and I didn't have to do this part anymore?
This couch fit anymore? I'll tell you what, next week I will come with some in the chamber and you don't have to do it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's call it a month that you do that.
A whole month.
The next four episodes.
Okay. I'm going to come with...
Assuming this show is weekly.
That's a pretty bold assumption. All right, yeah, I'll take over that job. I'll take the helm on that.
Oh,
that couch bit will be mine from now on.
We'll get into the show. We're going to ask each other a bunch of questions and give each other advice that hopefully will help you, the audience, as well. But before that, anything else you want to say, Soren? There was a tweet of mine recently that you said we're going to talk about. Did you want to do that?
Yeah, I would like to if you're up for it.
Yeah.
It's part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you not remember what it was? You like very explicitly. I tweeted about letting someone upsell me at L'Occitane, and you said publicly, "We're going to talk about this."
That's true. I guess it would be a shame not to do it. All right, let me go remind myself here exactly what I said. So you got upsold. You got upsold by somebody who probably works on commission at a store, a very fancy store.
Yeah.
And you didn't just get upsold because for like the normal reasons that I would assume you would get upsold. You got upsold for an entirely unique but not at all surprisingly Dan reason, which was you felt like the sales clerk needed a win.
Well, to begin with, she had just flown in from Virginia that day. She was clearly tired and a little bit, not jet lagged because there's no time change, but she was exhausted. And like you fly in and then you have to go to work. That seems like it's got to be weighing on the mind in some way. She kept dropping words. She didn't really know how to answer a lot of questions really well. And just seemed like she could use a win, a pick me up. I also went
in. She was dropping words?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she having a stroke?
Possibly. I also went in there like not knowing exactly what I needed. Like I went in there wanting to be sold to, I think, because like I'd been stressed recently and I was like, I want, it's L'Occitane. It's like a like Bath and Body fancy shit place. And I was like, I don't know what any of the words in this store mean.
I don't even know the name of the store. I can't even pronounce the name of the store.
I'm probably doing it wrong.
What's a candle go for there? That'll be my litmus test.
I don't know. I didn't get candles. I got a $30 bubble bath tube.
What the fuck is
which
that?
Was discounted from the $39 bubble bath tube, which was a nice little treat for me that my saleswoman gave me.
Can I tell you what I think that is?
Yeah, sure.
It's a tube that you place in just under the surface of the water. You have the other end in your mouth and you're blowing your own bubbles in the tub.
It's not that. It's like like a lavender scented thing that goes in the tub. But
it's a bomb.
Yeah. No, not a bomb. Well, bubble bath. What? Like liquid bubble bath. What fucking planet are you from?
I don't, well, the tube is throwing me.
It's stored in a tube.
Okay, is it like the size of like a wrapping paper tube?
No, what do you store bubble bath liquid in?
Well, it's been a long time. I don't remember. Maybe a rabbit, like a little plastic rabbit of some sort.
Anyway, I got an adult tube of bubble bath liquid.
Of course.
Because I walked in there and I was like, I'm stressed and I'm tired and I want to treat my skin and I want to like do a bunch of things that are relaxing. What do you have that is relaxing? And what I wanted was a $10 face mask, one of those face masks. Have you done one of those?
Oh, the black ones that you peel off and all your pores come off with it?
No, it's just one. It's like a mask that you wear that makes you look spooky and then it hydrates your skin. And
okay, Colleen's worn those.
You pull it off. Yeah, it's very pleasant and that's what I wanted. And it was just $10 to get that. And she wanted more from me. So then we got the bubble bath tube, and then she also
did Virginia come up?
Because she kept dropping words. She kept like getting confused with things, and she said, "I'm so sorry. I just flew in for Virginia. I was visiting my family, and I'm still like not totally here." And I was like, "I get it. None of us are, because I'm an empathetic person." And then when she, because here's the good thing about her as a salesperson. Is when I'm like, I want a mask. Instead of just giving me one, she says, "Why?" And I was like, "Ah, because my skin is dry because it's winter, and I also want to relax." And she's like, "Okay, well, here is a mask, but also if your thing is skin dryness, you really need this expensive jar of goop that I'm gonna just like put in your hand and tell you that it's important to you." I was like, "Oh, okay," and then also here's this bubble bath that is okay, and I got I ended up getting two masks. And the goop and the bubble bath. And then she dangled in front of me, like, you know, if you, just off the top of my head, if you signed up for our like mailing list thing, you would get a free gift today. It's this free gift of a bunch of other potions you didn't ask for and don't want and won't use. But if you sign up, you could get them and it would be great. So I like join the L'Occitane mailing list, I guess. Now I get emails from L'Occitane because she seemed tired. I don't know.
Hold on. First of all, I think you and I have talked about how bath bombs and things like that are bullshit. That they don't relax you at all.
They don't.
So you're still chasing that dragon, though. You're still trying to find that one commodity that will make you feel at peace.
Yeah, I just want to like buy a non-drug that is relaxing.
Okay. And the masks, you tried them. And the masks you actually like.
I don't think it does anything, but I like the fact that I do it. Does that count?
Yeah. Well, so there's a thing, there's a product in the first place I can think of in pop culture where people would be familiar with it is The Circle, which is that show on Netflix where it's charcoal glue or something like that. Uh-huh. And it's a black, it goes on very thin on your face. And then when people peel it off, it looks like they're ripping spirit gum off their face, but it also looks very cathartic and nice. And I am very enticed by something like that.
Is it a mask or is it like a lotion that becomes peelable?
Yeah. I think it's a charcoal spread.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. That then
pulls everything out of your face. All the toxins in your body come ripping out of your face.
Yeah.
Which I want that so bad in my life.
I do too. It's also worth pointing out that the bubble bath, which while smelling nice, certainly appears to be staining my bathtub.
Can you write them a strongly worded letter now that you're part of the email group?
No, I'll just buy more fucking tubes of soap when I run out. I'm going to use it again. And now I have a discount because I'm a member of the team.
Have you talked to her since?
No.
Okay. That feels like the type of person that eventually you end up becoming friends with, and then you cook her huevos rancheros.
No, I'm absolutely... I'm going to help her move at some point. There's no way around that.
Well, she tells you what an awful friend you are. Because she locked herself out of her place. She tells you what an awful friend you are while you make her chiquiles. I already know where this relationship's going. Well, that was nice of you, Dan. I'm glad that you gave that woman that win. I think that she probably walked away from the situation being like, what a sucker.
Yeah.
I didn't come from Virginia today. I came from South Carolina. What an idiot.
I think if you look like me and you wander into a L'Acetone alone on a Tuesday afternoon, it's just Mark City. Someone's like, oh yeah. My God, there's so much fucking blood in the water. I'm gonna eat for a week on this dumb Mark.
And she did. Oh, but I really hope that was a sales tactic for her to leave entire words out of her sales pitch.
Yeah.
What a bold new strategy.
I mean, it works on at least one dummy. Salesman.
I assume she needs all that money more than you. And obviously you need the products. So yeah. I think this was a win-win, honestly.
We want to thank Postmates for sponsoring this episode. We love Postmates. I've not been shy about how often I use Postmates. I have a recent convert, Soren. My brother has never used Postmates before in his life, and I just went...
You're out there in the world proselytizing Postmates.
Absolutely.
In your daily life.
I went to go visit him. He was very stressed, and I wanted to help him out. I was also stressed, so I didn't want to do too much to help him out. So we Postmates some burgers. We just got like burgers and fries, and he loved it, and it really... he'd heard about Postmates from the other episode of this podcast where we talked about Postmates. And you're like, that sounds good. They just send you food. And I was like, yeah. And we got food. We ordered burgers from Bear Burger. We got burgers and fries. And they went right to the house. And it was great. The best part about it was that we didn't have to pay. No, we had to pay for it. We didn't have to make it. The great thing about Postmates is you don't have to make it yourself. It's a personal food delivery. It's also grocery delivery. Honestly, whatever kind of delivery service you want all year round, whatever you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. That's not actually true. It's more
than the hour.
It's more than 365 days a year. I actually tested this last weekend because as we're recording this, it was a leap day.
Leap day.
So on February 29th, I ordered pizza from Ray's Pizza in New York and they showed up. So 365 asterisk sometimes.
But asterisk in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the times, I mean, if you're worried about coronavirus, you're worried about going out into the world, or even on holidays, I feel like those are the times where it's the most beneficial to do this because everything is hard to get in those times. You cannot go out into the world, and to have somebody who's braving it on your behalf, I don't know, I feel like they're heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to go to the store. Don't even need to know where the store is. Postmates is going to get it to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code QQ. That's code QQ for $100. I'm yelling because it's all caps. A free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code QQ.
Dan, I have a question for you.
Okay. Is it, could you like,
yeah.
A speed to the question?
Are you willing to start the show right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Quick question.
There we go.
What's a thing in your life that you never learned how to do, and now you're so old that it seems crazy that you don't know how to do it? This is a hard one, so I can go first if you want.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of something, but I don't know if it qualifies as like learning.
It could be anything.
Okay.
I think anything that a lot of people just have, they learned at some point in your life, and at some point, and when you were young, you were just like, well, this will just never be a thing that I get. And you never tried at it again. And then now you're an adult and you don't know how to do it. Or
okay. Do you want to go first? Because because mine might be embarrassing. So,
oh, I want to hear it. You have it already?
I do. Okay.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
I don't know for sure. I don't know if anyone learns how to blow their nose. Like, I don't know when that would have been taught. Or if it's a thing that we all know, I was not born knowing how to blow my nose, and no one ever taught me how to do it. And I am, as of this taping, 34 years old, and have blown my nose technically, legally, maybe 6 times in my entire life.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's just a thing that I don't know how to do. And I, this is true. I remember being in grade school, and like sometimes kids would get up from their desk and walk to the teacher's desk and grab a tissue from the tissue box, and they would blow their nose and they would throw the tissue into the garbage and they would go and sit back to the desk. It was like one of the few opportunities where you were allowed to leave your desk and do a thing. You could go to the bathroom, you could sharpen your pencil, you could blow your nose. And I knew how to go to the bathroom and I was great at it, and I could sharpen my pencil. I never knew how to blow my nose, but I remembered noticing kids doing it and being like, that seems normal. Everyone else is doing it and no one's freaking out. So in my ongoing effort to seem normal, I, in elementary school, would walk up to the teacher's desk, get a tissue, hold it up to my nose, and imitate the way that I'd seen other people do it. And then I would just make the noise that it sounded like they made, blowing their nose, with my mouth, and then throw the tissue out. I would just do an impression. I would take a tissue and be like, and then throw the tissue in the garbage so I could walk back to my desk confidently being like, I'm just like you. Because it would take me a very long time to learn that I am not.
What?
Is that too much?
That is. Oh my God, Dan. You're just an alien in a human suit. That's so wild. So like, you've never had the sheer joy of being at the end of a cold, like the last, like the fourth day or fifth day of a cold, and blowing half your brain out into a Kleenex and just feeling that fresh air that you haven't felt since you were a child.
No, absolutely not. I don't even entirely understand the physics of it, I guess, like what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to press.
Okay.
When did you learn from TV?
This is a great question. I know exactly when you learn, because I taught my son how to do it.
Oh,
and it is a real game changer. So I honestly blame your parents. when kids are young, they don't know how to do it. You can tell when they get really stuffy with a cold that they're just miserable and they don't know like how to get rid of this awful feeling in their nose and their sinuses. And a big thing is like getting them to shut their mouth, just blow as hard as they can out of their nose, and you block one of their nostrils. So they blow out of just one nostril. You ask them to do that multiple times till they can clean that side out. And then you plug the other side and you have them blow out on that side. And when a child figures that out, it's a huge game changer. Because in the middle of the night when they wake up stuffy, sometimes you can get them to just loosen that stuff up and get it right out.
And
the way that I just described it, did that seem completely crazy to you? Or
not crazy, or does that, but like... I don't know. I don't feel like I'm missing out by not doing it.
Oh my God. I blow my nose probably 5 times a day, and I'm not even, well, I guess I've been sick recently, but even when I'm not sick, maybe I just have really overactive sinuses, but I'm just chasing that feeling again of like getting a really big nose blow where you can, you realize you've had snot that is coiled all the way back into your throat and you can feel it all come up at once.
Wow. I mean, that does sound very pleasant. I just feel like I get a stuffy nose and was like, well, this is reality. And then I live with it until it stops being there. And I don't do anything to improve my situation because I'm Irish.
That's so that's just sort of brand for you. That you just suffer through.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Eventually it'll get better. And if it doesn't, that's okay too.
I want to teach you.
That's on my family crest.
I want to get one of those little squeegee, those little suction balls so that I can just suck the snot out of your nose. So you can see how good it feels. Oh,
those like teal balls that are pointy for children?
They're always teal. You're right. I can't believe you don't blow your nose. I blow my nose constantly.
Yeah, I don't. And at this point, it seems irrational to learn, right?
Like, it does seem a little late in the game.
Keep living my life the way that I do.
No, I think you could do it.
I have you know,
it's not a real skill set. I wouldn't qualify as a skill set.
Do you know what's like fucking absurd and a tremendous insight into my life?
I think I just heard it.
No, but it continues. So
okay.
You understand that 9-year-old Daniel was faking blowing his nose.
Yeah.
So he fit in with other children who were blowing their noses. I still, to this moment, will always have a box of tissues on my desk at work that I don't use. But it was like, this is a thing that it seems like other people, like I've seen other people at work have them. I was like, it would be weird if I was the only one who didn't have tissues on my desk, even though I don't use them, because I don't, I don't blow my nose and I refuse to sneeze in front of people. So I just like,
yeah, that's a whole other element.
But I still need to have tissues on my desk because then I'll fit in with the other folks, you know?
Yeah, the closest thing I can approximate your sneezes to is edging.
I wish you wouldn't.
The way that you try and hold a sneeze inside of you, I feel like it's just blowing apart your soul.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. You let him out when you're alone, though, right?
I let him out when I'm alone. And you know what's fucked up is that a friend of the show and friend of both of ours, Caitlin Large, she was staying with me for a week, and I sneezed in my apartment while she was getting ready for her day, and I just like openly sneezed. And she laughed at me for minutes.
Oh, you didn't need that.
I didn't. It's like the only time I sneeze in front of a person. And she was like, there are so many stages to it. And it's like, yeah, when you wait a while and you build up to it, things are different. I don't know.
I'm curious what your actual sneezes sound like. My sister-in-law has... It's like pageantry. There's like a whole little build up in the beginning and then the final event, in a way that feels like it's an attention grabber, but she doesn't mean to do it. It's just who she is. She goes,
"Achoo, achoo, achoo." Now that sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. She's got to do the at the beginning of it. It's really strange. But I don't want to get too far afield from the fact that you don't know how to blow your nose.
No, yeah, it's fine. I do a normal sneeze and I blow my nose. Wild. Like I mean, you wouldn't know that I didn't know how to blow my nose if you watched me pretend to blow my nose. I've gotten very good at faking it.
Do you have allergies?
I don't know. Probably.
You are just so dead set on living with misery.
I just don't want to
bother
anyone.
Know what your ailments are.
I don't want to bug anyone. I don't want to go to a doctor and be like, what's wrong with me? Because like that's going to upset their day, you know?
No, it's not. They're going to be so pumped to be useful. I had allergies growing up. I still have pretty bad allergies. And maybe I'm trying to think like maybe that's where I became an expert. But I'll really, really go to town. Like I will blow as hard as I can to try and just dislodge anything inside of me. And because the catharsis, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that dwarfs mine, but I'll still tell you mine anyway.
But yours is going to be like, I don't know how to do a handstand. Crazy, right?
So I don't know. Do you start on your head?
and then you just push up. I don't get it. I'm really, really bad at, well, math in general, but general subtraction, it to an embarrassing degree, where I can't do it in my head. I can't do quick subtraction, especially with double digit numbers. Forget triple, but like double digit numbers. So if I'm at a bar and I'm playing 501 at the dartboard, I can't do it, but I have to write it out in chalk.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can see me doing it. I have a very hard time with subtraction, and I think that fractions are impossible.
Were you ever good at it?
No, never in my life have I been good at it. And it's one of those things where early on I was just like, well, this, it doesn't make sense to me. I have a workaround. It just takes a little longer. Maybe I'll just never learn this. And so then I just never did.
Yeah.
And it can get really embarrassing when people are splitting up a bill, or any time in your life where you need math, like the simplest math. And someone will be like, come on, Soren, you can do it. And I can't get there.
Yeah.
It came up on the podcast. And I just sort of.
Oh, yeah. When you're trying to figure out how old 13 was.
Yeah. When I couldn't figure out how, based on how old my son is now, when he'll be 13. And I wanted to, like, I was sitting there, like, writing it out invisibly with my finger on the table, trying to figure it out. I can't do very, very simple math. And fractions are. I cook sometimes, and in cooking, when you have to do something, you have to either double it or halve it based on how many people you're going to be serving. It's like, if I get to a point where it's like 3/8, I just say, I can't make this meal.
Yeah.
I could guess, or I could maybe, if I can Google 3/8 of flour halved and see, and an answer
hopefully
magically appears.
Hopefully someone did it.
Someone somewhere in the world was able to crunch those impossible numbers and come up with some sort of theorem. It's really embarrassing.
Yeah. I'm also still not great at math, and it's come up on bills where I'm trying to be a big shot. And I was like, don't worry, everyone, I'll cover this. And then I look at the bill and I want to put the tip in, and there's like a group of us, so it's expensive. And all of my math tricks have failed me, because I have a very specific, like, if you want to tip 20%, just look at these two numbers and, multiply it by four. That gives you your 20% or whatever the trick is. I don't even remember it right now. But if there's a meal that's in the triple digits,
you're tipping an awful lot.
Yeah. I just end up staring at the tip, and the people who I've just now told, don't worry, I got it. They're like, hey, you're spending an awful long time staring at that receipt. Are you sure you can cover it? I'm like, no, I definitely can. It's just, you know, there's an 8 and a 6 involved in the math, and that's tricky. Like, no one knows what happens when those two numbers come together.
I have started to, when I tip, I'm, first of all, the fact that tipping has gone up, because, you know, when we were kids, it was like, you do 50%. That's nice.
Yeah.
20% is pretty standard across the board. Now, I think it might even raise out soon, but 20% is so much easier to figure out than 15. But yeah, even to this day, I get the bill, I pull out my phone, I open up the calculator, and I just do the calculation there.
That's smart. That saves time for everyone. It's not just like me sweating over a receipt being like, no, I got it, everyone. Just quiet and turn the music off, please. Because I need to do a lot of math to figure out a proper 20% tip for $50.
The times that it brings me the most quiet shame, though, is I build furniture now. I'm very excited about it. I just built some bookshelves, by the way.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And when I'm doing it, the measuring tape has hashes on it based on how many fractions of an inch are in between each inch. So like there's like the 16ths, the eighths, the quarters, and like that. But because I'm so bad at fractions, as I'm measuring stuff, I just say, okay, this one is three little hashes and four big hashes. It's like a dummy doing it. It's like a 6-year-old child trying to read a ruler.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. Or when people tell me, I say, what time is it? And they say quarter past. I go, oh no. Okay. Let's see. Well, of 100, that would be 75. No, 25. Okay.
So of 60. I can't fucking do it.
That's really interesting to me. I'm curious because you said you were never good at math, and I never was also. And it was a very difficult part of middle and high school. I mean, obviously the most difficult part was the bullying, but separate from that, it was like I was in advanced classes for every other subject. There was like the honors and eventually AP subjects for things, the top course for things. And I was in all of them. And then just because of the way schedules work out, was also thrust into the math version of those. But I was clearly not as good at math as I was at English or science or social studies. Like my brain just never connected with it. So it was just like being really good throughout high school in everything, and then just constantly struggling in math and not having the vocabulary at the time to be like, I don't think I'm supposed to be in honors algebra right now. I think there's something wrong with the shape my brain has taken. But you can't really say that. Yeah. You just like you just struggle and you don't know why, because I wasn't trying less hard in math than I was in English. I just couldn't connect to it in a strange way.
I totally agree. And it feels sort of like a moral failing when people are like, oh, you're bad at it. Well, just fucking get good at it.
Yeah.
You're like, no, you don't understand.
I'm trying, but
the practical application of it, I do not get. So like it's its own language. It's just, you learn the rules of the language. You learn the order of operations. You learn what's allowed and what's not allowed when you're balancing an equation. And I get that in theory, but I cannot put it into practical use.
Won't do it.
I can't see it in my head. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating and embarrassing all the time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be even worse when my son, he's not too far away from learning the levels of math that I will no longer be able to help him.
Oh yeah. That's
and he's young.
Interesting. Yeah.
He's going to be, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when he's in a freshman in high school and wants help on trig.
Freshman in high school. And how, what year do you think that will be?
Okay. I can do this because he's 4 right now. So that makes it easy.
Yeah, sure does.
2030.
Did All I right. Do it? Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah. Yep,
the very easiest possible thing. All right. Soren, I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You're allowed to add one more immediately universally understood external communication device on a car. Right now we have, let's say, left signal, right signal, braking, hazards, honk as the sole agreed upon communication devices. The addition can't be too complex. Like you can't have a digital sign that you edit that where you just like type in while you're driving, may I please scooch in front of you because my exit is approaching. It has to be like a simple, as simple as a turn signal or a honk.
Yeah.
What would you do?
Before I tell you, I just need to say that my mom, when I was growing up, really wanted a digital sign in her back window so that when people were tailgating her, she could project the wording "back off, bucko." She thought that was like her dream. Back off, bucko. I do have one. I have one that's immediately.
I mean, this doesn't matter because I don't drive anymore, but just let your mom know. That would not stop me. And I would get even closer. If someone was like, back off, bucko. I'm like, well, eat my fucking ass, whoever you are.
Yeah, that's just like the words of someone not meant for this world. Yeah. Like, oh, you don't know how bad I can be. I'm very charmed by my mom. So I do have one that's immediately obvious to me. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. This is one that I saw today, and it almost caused an accident. And I was like, oh, this is the thing I've wanted forever. I want some sort of protrusion from the front of my car for when you're turning against lanes of traffic, so that when the first lane stops and you can't see the cars in the other lane, it's just like this extendable piece that comes out and is like, hey, car's trying to turn right here. Car's trying to turn. So that as the oncoming lanes also see that they can also slow, because otherwise you just you either go for it, you slow down so that and you waste everybody's time, or you like go for it and there's a good chance there's another car coming 40 miles an hour down the other lane because it's clear.
Right. It's tough. Like if you're making a left across traffic, or if you're making a U-turn and there's like three lanes coming in that direction, you can sometimes like definitely connect with one of those drivers. Eye contact where they're like, this person knows that I'm making this turn right now and they're on board. But you can't necessarily connect with three at a time when you need to. And you either put yourself in a dangerous situation where you're just trying to sort of sprint through it, or you do a half measure and that ends up pissing off the person who was going to let you go and the person behind you. I think I understand this problem. Yeah.
Like an Inspector Gadget style glove that ratchets out and then waves like, hey. I employ that when I'm walking into the gym locker rooms, because there's like a kink always in the way that you get in so that no one is just looking in the locker rooms. And when I come around that corner, guaranteed there's somebody who's making like a hard left. Like they're not going to use the rules of the road while they're walking around,
right,
which is you make a wide, if you're going to have to make a left turn, you do it widely. And so every time I walk past one of those, I just throw a hand out there in front to be like, hey, there's some fingers right there.
Yeah.
You can tell someone's coming, and it works great. It works great in my everyday life. I think we should have it on cars.
Yeah. The hand in the gym thing is very smart. I remember it from, not necessarily that, but from working in restaurants, a couple of things that we did was behind you, which is always very helpful if because there are a bunch of workers around, you know, waiters and bartenders and bus folks, and you're bent over picking up a tray of glasses and I'm behind you and I get to say behind you, and that lets the person know not to stand up quickly and back into you. And we would also you would softly shout coming in if you were coming into the kitchen, because the kitchens all have like double cowboy doors. And they were all very helpful things that I would love to have incorporated into car stuff. But my immediate one, the one message I would like to communicate, is if I had like an extra light or an alternate honk sound that we all universally agreed meant I'm sorry. Because that was something
a good one.
I always felt like when I was making a mistake while driving, I was like, oh no, oh shit, that's my exit over there. So now I have to go across three lanes to get to my exit. And the people behind me are pissed off. And I just want them to know, like, I agree with you. I also think this was bad. And I'm sorry. Like I'm not an asshole. I'm just stupid. And like we're on the same page. I shouldn't be doing this. That's what I want to communicate.
I feel like you'd solve so many road rage incidents.
I know, like, because, and I would also love to see it. If someone in front of me was behaving erratically and then they put on the I'm sorry light, I was just like, oh, he's probably on the phone talking to his mom. I get it. Yeah, he got distracted. That's fine.
And the amount of times that I've gone from 100 to zero, where like I've been enraged at somebody and then driven up because I just need to see their goddamn face, and they give me that little wave like, I'm so sorry.
I know. Yeah.
And I go right back down. I'm like, oh man, I've been there. It's okay. Yeah. It's fine. That guy was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would love to have an I'm sorry honk. My car has a excuse me honk that's separate from its normal fuck you honk. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. My car has two different honks. Mine's got the normal one where you just lay on it, and then there's a little button on the one of the windshield wiper stick.
Uh-huh.
At the very end of it, you just push this little button and my car chirps. I think it's because it's a battery powered car, and sometimes it sneaks up on pedestrians. You give a little chirp and people are like, oh, there's a car there.
Oh.
And I use it at lights all the time when people don't go on green arrows and things like that. It's just this nice little courteous, like, hey, I'm not trying to be mean, but you got to go.
That's so fascinating. I think the problem is that there's not mass communication about what that means. Because if I was driving and you were behind me and I heard a chirp, that wouldn't mean anything to me. It's the same way that, like, I'm sure you don't know this, for dogs, there are a bunch of different messages conveyed depending on the color of the leash that you're riding your dog on.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know all of them, but I know that like
what gang the dog is in?
Yeah, there's Bloods and there's Crips, obviously.
Nice.
But the main one when this first came to my attention is like, if you see a dog with an orange leash, that means they like people but not dogs. And that they're not friendly with other dogs. And there's, let me pull it up now so I know. Yeah, there's red, caution, I just want some space. Green is friendly. Light yellow is nervous, give me some space, I'm nervous. Purple is do not feed. Blue is training service dog. Bright yellow is I'm looking for a new home. White is deaf or blind dog. And these are all like, it makes so much sense that they exist. Everyone should know about them, but the problem is we don't communicate them at all. Even if we could communicate the one, like orange means don't keep your dog around me. That would be so helpful. Because like my dog is good with dogs, but not all of them are. And you don't want to have to like ask the owner all the time. If you could just have like a very clear like, oh, orange, that means I avoid that dog. That would be great. But
yeah.
We don't have a platform where we can just say these are the rules for dog leashes.
Right. I mean, I'm immediately thinking of children.
Speak on that.
Stuff. Like if you could put a bandana in a child's pocket, say, and they're like, hey, I can be a little rough sometimes. I can be a little rough with other kids, or I have a really tough time sharing. Like, you know, I think I'd be much more sympathetic to those kids when I'm at the park with my son, my child, who is, you know, perfect.
Right.
He plays with kids sometimes at the park and he doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know that they're being rude or obnoxious, but I do. And I want to be like, hey, let's get the fuck out of here. This kid sucks. But, if it was clearly acknowledged by the parent, I'd be like, oh, okay, well maybe we'll work on it with this kid.
Yeah.
We'll work on sharing.
It would be great. I feel like the first time I learned about this was back in LA when I was walking my dog Jackson and someone with an orange leash had their dog and I let Jackson go talk to them and the owner was immediately like, he's got an orange leash. He's not good with other dogs. And I'm like, well, I didn't go to the same website that you went to, so I don't know this. I like this system, but it's new to me.
That's a brilliant system. I wish that there was I'm trying to think of like, maybe if you put them in like chain pet store windows.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and so everyone was just on board with the same language, the same color language. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, I'll think of how to get that implemented.
I think we should probably wrap this up unless you have anything else to say.
No, I don't. I'm going to actually go find the information for us. But before I do.
Oh, I got it right here.
Dan, you know what? It's much better if I do it. I've just got my own system. I like have a way that I like to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'll just find it. But in the meantime, you can fill the dead air if you want. I know that recently you've said that foreign films shouldn't be allowed to win Best Picture at our Oscars and that those people should have their own. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, with the recent win of Parasite at the last Oscars, which didn't have a host, by the way, they won both Best International Film and Best Film. I just feel like Best International Film, that's like a global thing. And so it should be for the best film of the globe. But Best Film, Best Oscar for Film, like, that's smaller than the globe, right? So, like, give it to an American, you know? Because it's... I don't want to say local.
Native?
No, I definitely don't want to say that. Listen, I think it's clear that the best picture of the year, parentheses, American, was... Joker, I guess, if I'm following the breadcrumbs on the point of view that I've created in this moment.
And the worst part about these is that you find yourself
following the logic of a really terrible person and you're appalled at yourself for doing
it. Yeah, because like I'm trained to make reasonable arguments and connect points A to point B to point C. And when I do that on something like this, I hate who I've become.
Yeah.
But I agree with me. It should have been Joker.
Okay. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_INC. That's DOB Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Michael at Make Me Bacon Please. That's PLS for the please. And you can follow Quick Question at QQ_SorenAndDan. As I understand it, updates happen occasionally there. The Michael posts things.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised too. We also have an email, QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. And we have a Patreon, which is Patreon/Quick Question. You can also find, well, not yet. When he's got the site up and running, you can find some very interesting and good information about how to hire Gabe, our sound engineer and editor, at GabeHarder.com.
Is that website still not up?
There's a page, there's a splash page,
okay,
that says exciting things coming soon or something of that nature. Is there anything else you want to say, Dan?
No, just that you said that Michael posts things occasionally, that's fun, to our Twitter, and the last thing he did was February 20th, and it was just, we made another one of these, that's 31 whole podcasts, listen to it and tell your friends, or even strangers, like that's the fucking content that we're putting out there?
We need a social media manager. Yeah. We need somebody in charge of these things. What do you think's happening on our Instagram right now? I can only imagine.
Hopefully it's been hacked.
Oh God, that would be great. Yeah. That's like the best thing that could possibly happen for us. If you want to hack us, we're QQ_with_Soren_and_Daniel. If that didn't take you all night to type, then I'd say have at it.
Yeah.